Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we didn't get to during the course of the show today. As promised, going to keep it a little bit lighter today. I see your face.
What?
Well, I'm not.
There's no way this is lighter.
Well, not like we got really political the other day.
What? And it could still get
there. Really? Oh, no.
This is totally
No, okay. And here's the thing. I want to talk about Gavin. Gavin goes, man, I fully get you now. Because in the past, when we did the show, we had some super legalistic people and people would get really mad and want to cancel me over non-salvation issues. And I'm trying not to be like screamy, like, because it didn't happen to me, so I can just react to it. If it had happened to me, I probably would have been upset if I had gotten the call. But we take calls and Gavin screens them before they come to me. And so he's gotten a couple in a row of people disagreeing with things that we said on the air and being very passionate about their disagreement. And I venture to say the one about Rashee Rice was probably more directed at Betty, I would hope, because Betty was harsher about that story than I was. Because didn't you have somebody call that, like, you're not being kind?
I had two people.
Okay.
And I will say this, just as a prerequisite before getting into this, that these people who called in and had this conversation with me were not overbearing and
they weren't
cruel.
Okay.
There wasn't a certain level of like just outright meanness,
sure,
but like finger wagging.
Well, okay, yeah.
Which it still is annoying.
Finger wagging can set me off too, and then I can escalate the situation.
Our whole story, just to kind of like go back to, if you've listened to the main podcast, was about Rashee Rice, the Kansas City Chief wide receiver who was racing.
Who almost killed children.
So
I would love to see how people want to
defend that.
Him.
Yeah.
And so
Betty was very, very vocal about
this. Yeah, I will say
this.
There's a lot of vocal things, a lot of topics that Wally is super vocal about.
Yeah.
I'm vocal about certain ones, and this one definitely
hit with her. I tried to balance it a little bit because I do believe in having balance. Like, there are times when I walk out on the ledge and Betty plays devil's advocate or she balances it out for us, because I think that's important to have somewhat both sides. And so I tried to balance that out a little bit, but apparently I didn't even do a good enough job.
So the first person who called in to critique that situation said that we had no grace for the Rashee Rice situation, any grace for Rashee Rice himself, that we didn't focus on saying something along the lines of our ending with the thought of we're praying that Rashee Rice finds a better way.
Or that's the problem.
Like she said, you guys didn't even say that you were praying for the people who got hurt in the situation.
I'm not.
And so she said that it's our job to remember that he, and this is her words,
sure,
and I'll try and deliver it in a way that, again,
you're already making
me
mad, Gavin.
I'm always hoping that I'm not.
Just spit it out. Just say it.
She said that, like, I just lost track of my thought.
Her words.
Her words were that this is just a kid, and she mentioned like the thought that like unsafe people do unsafe stuff, that we shouldn't critique him too harshly for doing these things because don't you remember being young and don't you remember making mistakes? And my response to that was very much in the ballpark of sure, but there are levels to mistakes that can be critiqued that were criminal.
Absolutely.
I made dumb choices when I was 21, but I wasn't driving 100 miles. She's like, you never know if, like, maybe he had bad parents and maybe he had bad coaches.
We can all day, but who's to say that, okay, your children got hit by a drunk driver. Okay, well, we should have some grace for him.
Right.
He made some bad decisions.
Right.
He was only 23.
Yeah. Sad.
Come on.
We shouldn't have any punishment.
Maybe he didn't drink the alcohol. Maybe someone made him drink the alcohol.
Okay,
We can maybe all day, but the facts are that he was being stupid as a 23-year-old. And I think another thing that makes it more mad for me is that this is a kid with millions of dollars, and I don't think athletes deserve that amount of money. So that's part of the problem for me. But then to go as far as you could race, you can make those stupid decisions as a 23-year-old and race, but you're taking it one step further by going on a public highway where you are jeopardizing the lives of innocent people. That's what makes me angry.
I've always had no problem with somebody doing something dumb, taking themselves
out.
We've
all done something
dumb.
Like,
I get that. But when you put other people at risk because it's selfish, you want to do what you want to do, that is where I do have a problem with it as well.
And the person who was calling in, I don't think she would say that it was obviously like, oh, he's not at fault for these things. Like she, her right. argument wasn't that the man that she wasn't at fault for these things. It was that our
we shouldn't be as opinionated tone, as we are.
Yeah. That our tone was too from yeah. up high.
Judgmental and should be more of grace.
Yes.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like the life is about, like everyone says you shouldn't be judgy. No, that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about wisdom, discernment. You are able to judge situations. You can sit in judgment of things. What I don't sit in judgment of is somebody's faith. I'm not going to sit there and go, he drove recklessly and could have hurt people. He's definitely not a believer. He might be. I don't have no idea. Yeah. No clue. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you go, well, he did this, but we don't want to judge him. So he's going to stand before a judge, and he will be judged for his actions.
If I was a mom or a dad involved in that situation, he had hit me, and my kid was in the back seat, I would want him to pay the consequences.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any. Yeah. Again, I think you can have grace, and I certainly would personally hope that he becomes a better man and that something
it might
good
use, it might
comes ca- out
it
of this.
Might do something good for him.
But I think we're stating the obvious. I would have zero legal grace. Like I would have from the eyes of the law and from the eyes of how this world works, I would have no grace in that situation for the consequences, because again, you can say that, oh, he's just a kid, all this, he's like an adult.
Right.
Like I don't think that we should allow ourselves to think that people who are around the age of 21, 22 aren't adults. They're adults in like the world's eyes, and we should expect something from them beyond what this guy did.
Again, like I tried to balance it, and I tried to have like that grace perspective in it, like just a little bit to take some of the edge out of it, you know, talking about, well, yeah, no one is prepared for that kind of money and stuff like that. So it's like, it wasn't like hate filled, but it does serve the one thing that will never happen here, and you'll never hear me say, is like wrapping up a story with a stereotypical Christian radio nonsense bull crud wrap up that so many Christian stations do. The big ones, they would do that story and they'd be like, you know, it's just such a tough situation all around and we just need to be praying for everybody involved. And then they're not going to do it. Like, to me, that is so disingenuous. It's such garbage. It's pandering. It's playing to the crowd that you think wants to hear, oh, we're such good Christians. No, the reality is, I'm not praying for Rashi. I'm not, you know? I'm not praying for that guy's family that the cop shot him because he shot a cop, you know? Like, I'm not. Maybe I should, I don't know, but I'm not going to say that I am just to give it some wrap-up that makes me look like this great believer when I'm not doing that, you know?
Well, and I think, too, that if you feel like we should have that we should wrap up in that situation and we don't, I don't think that this is the place that I think you can take the responsibility of saying, hey, you know, maybe they didn't do this, but it's what I'm going to do.
I'll tell
my kids, hey, this was awful. This man was in the wrong. We're going to pray for everyone involved. Like, I think that there are layers of this is a place where we tell a story. And we, I think, again, justly critique the situation. And if you don't feel like it's okay that we didn't pray on air for the situation, then it's something you get to do. Like you go ahead and pick up that mantle for us if that's the situation that you feel that way in.
That this is a place where you can use teachable moments. Like if I say things you don't agree with, then you use that as a way to foster in your own family. Hey, Wally's not doing that, but this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Like what you're saying. And like you use it to entrench your beliefs and your values into your kid. You know, the other one that was funny is that we were talking about my friend, in high school, I didn't want to be friends with this guy anymore because he stopped listening to Motley Crue and listened to Bob Marley. And somebody called Gavin and was like, why are we talking about Motley Crue? I'm like, I love that we just pretend that somehow when we got saved that we don't even know that other bands existed. And like you had this whole life that you tell a story and you go, I was listening to a band that wasn't a Christian band. Like, and that's how so many Christian outlets and content people dance around everything instead of just being honest and going, yeah, so I was listening to Motley Crue, you know, like I still listen to some Motley Crue, you know, like I'm just trying to be honest about life and share things the way that they happen. But I hate the scrubbing that we try to do inside of our faith. And that's why people just don't respond to so many Christians because you whitewash everything and you stop being relatable and you want to put yourself up as this thing that's not relatable to anybody, but you're so super holy. You know?
I think that one thing, again, that if we're talking about what makes WayFM different than going to other stations or going to other media consumption places when it comes to like Christianity and faith, is that I think you can come here and connect with us on a level that is like you're talking about. Like you can come here and be a fan of Motley Crue. You can be a fan, right, of whatever you listen to. Come here, hear that, hey, like we did like that, still like that kind of stuff. But guess what? That's not like the only, like we, you can also come here and hear that that's coupled with faith and that's coupled with the good things that do happen here.
So the takeaway is if you get in an accident on the freeway driving crazy, we will judge you. But if you are listening to Motley Crue while doing that, we will not. So there you go. Perfect. Done. Solved.
If
Lady
you've ever
Rock.
Done that in your life.
What do you got?
Okay, so mine is all about O.J. Simpson.
Deep dive.
If you didn't know, he passed away at 76 years old from prostate cancer. And all the news stations are going back to 1994, 95 and talking about how the whole trial went down. It was this huge thing. Now, at that time, I was maybe nine or 10.
Yeah. So did you know anything about, like, did your parents tell you anything about it?
Or, okay. Didn't know a thing about it. But I will tell you this. I remember where I was when they read the verdict for O.J. Simpson on whether he was guilty or not guilty. I remember it because my principal made such a huge statement in my head. So you didn't know my principal of the small podunk country private school that I went to. He was probably 6'4".
Oh, big man.
200 pounds, maybe. He commanded authority. I was scared of him from
I'm scared
from
of him right
kindergarten
now.
To my senior year. The man had a low voice and he was... You just knew to say
intense,
yes or no, sir.
Right.
No, sir. So we're having lunch. We're in the cafeteria. And I remember sitting at the table, probably eating a Lunchable. Who knows? I don't know. A bologna sandwich that my mom made me. And I remember my principal walking in. It was a huge. It was packed, okay? There were a lot of kids in there. My principal comes walking in. He's in his suit and his tie. He comes in and he pulls out
that
the
tea. That surprises me.
What? Yeah,
suit and tie.
Wore a suit and tie. I know. Wore a suit and tie every day. Okay, he comes in there and he grabs the television that's on one of those rollers. Mm. As kids, we're excited. We're like, oh, we're going to get to watch TV.
Cartoons!
Watch TV while we're eating lunch. That was not the case. He comes in. He didn't say many words, What he said, he had purpose to.
Ooh.
He comes in there, rolls in the TV, and sits down.
The box
and
TV.
He's watching it, okay? He's got his elbows on his... thighs on his knees and he's sitting there and he's watching and he turns on the news and we're like, oh, boring. It's the O.J. Simpson trial. Mm. And that he turned it on just as they were about to announce the verdict.
The trial of the century, it's been called.
They say O.J. Simpson found not guilty.
Oh man.
My principal, I just see him. He's probably in his 60s at that time. He puts his head in his hands, sits there for a minute, gets up, turns the TV off, and rolls the TV right back into the corner and walks back to his office.
Oh, really?
And I remember thinking, this was a big deal. Like, I guess he didn't have a TV in his office, and that was the only TV that was available. I mean, this is a podunk church.
Sure.
I mean, school. Well, it was a church on Sundays. Anyway, it just made it made an image in my mind that this is something serious. I don't know what it is, but O.J. Simpson did something bad.
It's funny.
My principal doesn't like it.
You're 9 going through this. I'm 26. I'm sitting in a newsroom in a news station because we had a news and a sports station and a rock station, and we're all gathered in there watching this. And then the myriad of different opinions when that was announced was crazy. Like, there's all this discussion and, oh, man, what? You know, disbelief.
So in your office there were people
were.
Where did you land in the moment?
Oh, I was like, how did he get away with that?
And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Gavin. Because if you're wondering where Gavin was, he was just a sparkle in his mother's eye.
Might not have been
So, here's what I did. I did some digging because I wanted to be refreshed on how in the world
did
you
that forget
man
stuff
get away yeah with it. Okay,
I don't know much about this
so
case.
So let me
I've
educate you.
TV shows, but I'm
let me educate
for this
you in the potties. Can't okay wait. So before her murder, so he's been accused of killing his ex-wife and a friend of hers that was with her at the time. So before the murder, there was a multiple calls made by Nicole, that's his ex-wife, to 911 asking them to come and help her due to O.J. Simpson's violence towards her. He was accused multiple times, even arrested multiple times for violence in the home. Okay? So he's already got that against him. We know that that is truth. That is fact. Okay? He had a house guest at the time when the murders went down. His name was Cato.
Cato Kalin.
Yep. He was staying at O.J. Simpson's home. His house guest, Cato, saw Simpson, O.J., on the property wearing a dark sweatsuit around 30 minutes before the murder took place.
Oh, my.
Okay? So then a neighbor of Simpson's was walking his dog and didn't see Simpson's Bronco at home. So that means Simpson wasn't home.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He makes a phone call to his girlfriend at the time from the Bronco. So he's in his car, and he's calling his girlfriend. So we know he's at least not home.
His cars had phones in them?
Well, he was an NFL star. I'm sure he okay had money, and he had... They might have had the block
phone. We had brick phones back then.
Zach Morris.
The Mac Morris phone. Yeah, we had Motorola, the brick phones.
Yeah, they were huge, okay, but they did work. Okay, there was hair evidence found on a cap that was on the premises, and victim's hair, the victim's shirt. So they found hair that looked like O.J. Simpson's on a cap that was found like out in a lawn somewhere on the premises and on one of the victim's shirts. There's also fiber evidence that's found on a glove, okay? There is one black lone glove, that's sitting on the property of where the murder took place.
The linchpin of
they
the case.
They don't know where the second one is. But in that glove, they find, that's on the premises, they find fiber, like carpet fibers from a Bronco inside the glove, okay?
All circumstantial.
But, yeah, it's all circumstantial because they can't prove that that's actually from his Bronco.
It
that
surprises
someone else's
me
Bronco.
Yeah, what are
back
the odds
then
of that?
Who knows? Okay, Simpson. O.J. Simpson. They find him the next day. He's got fresh cuts on his hand.
Yeah.
Oh,
after the
goodness
murder. Okay, yeah, but wait. Goodness. How did he get those? Blood is found in the Bronco and in O.J.'s home. And some of that blood is Nicole's blood.
Yeah, like, how okay did this, like, not...
But maybe it wasn't then. Maybe it was during another
we're
altercation
talking about the blood was in O.J.'s
Nicole
actual Bronco? It was
in
the
home
house.
In his home.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so they find a pair of socks of O.J.'s, and her blood is on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, how do you... Well, she lived there at the time. Maybe
sure
she got in an accident, cut her hand. We don't know. Okay, so blood found in the Bronco... Okay, so there is blood found on yep the Bronco. It could be O.J. Simpson's. It could be Nicole's. It could be her friend. Okay, the matching glove.
Mm.
They find the matching glove at his property.
Mm.
So one of the gloves was found on Nicole's property. The
wow
other one was found on O.J.'s property.
Oh my
and
goodness
that
there's
house
no
guest that he had at the time, Cato, claims that he heard three bumps in the middle of the night. And then that's where they found the glove. Okay, but they're claiming that maybe a cop planted it.
No,
we're not sure.
Oh, I do remember that.
Because that cop was known for throwing slurs around, so
right
they did say he could have planted it. Okay,
right.
Simpson devoted no time to finding the real killer, and no evidence surfaced
I do
that it was
that
anyone else.
He was like, I'm going to look for the real killer, and when
and
he
never
kept
did
defining his innocence.
Funny.
I went to a Carrot Top show, believe it or not, the comedian, and he had a golf club with binoculars on it, and he's like, look, I'm OJ, and he does a golf swing and brings the binoculars up to his eyes, and he's like, look, I'm looking for the real killers while I'm on the golf course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah, like you would think if that if there was someone out there that killed your child's mom,
yeah,
you would do something.
Oh, yeah.
To find the real killer, especially if people think you're the one that did it.
Right.
But he didn't bother trying. Then, in 2007, he wrote a book called If I Did It that described in detail events leading up to the moment of the murder.
So theoretically, though, like he
that's
can write
confidence
that because he's been tried, he's been acquitted, and so you cannot be tried for that case and that murder again.
Right.
I if new evidence comes up, then I don't know where the law lands on that one. I'm not 100% sure of when you could,
yeah,
or they'd have to have a different charge. And so, yeah, that's brazen. That's like, I got away with it, and so I'm just going to do this and make money. But you can't make money because the court ruled against him making money on it, and the money had to go to the Goldman family, which I thought
was because
good.
He was found not guilty in one
federal case, but not civil.
Right. So in civil, they found him guilty, and then he had to pay money to that.
Because there's a different burden of proof in a civil case versus a federal case. And so the argument was the prosecution failed to provide enough evidence to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. In a civil case, you can be found guilty and have to pay money to people where you weren't in the criminally liable.
Well, and also, too, this was one of the most highly talked about cases.
Oh, for sure.
And it was one of the first. Yeah. And so people were tied to the TV wanting to know what is the outcome going to be. I think, too, I don't know how well they did with covering up the, the jurors?
Oh, sequestering?
Covering up their identity. Right. I don't know how well they did with that. And so if he came out not guilty, then, like, if he came out as guilty, there might be
problems.
Might get death threats.
Right.
They probably did on the other hand, too. But where they went wrong is the prosecution shouldn't have had him try on those gloves.
The glove
because
was
when
the big
he
deal.
Tried on the glove that was found on the property where the murder took place, it did not fit.
He's like, I can't, I'm trying to get it on. I just can't somehow get this glove on. I've put my feet into shoes that were way too small for me because I thought they were going to look good. And I got them in there. Now, was it comfortable? Absolutely not. But I got them in there. Yep. And he's just like, I can't even get this glove on. And Jackie, what was the attorney's name? Oh, escaping me. Oh, come on. Not Jackie. That's the guy from Seinfeld. But the attorney was like, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. That was his big line. Mm-hmm. And that was
a
mistake.
They shouldn't have done it. Yep. They shouldn't have done it. And then they didn't even play for the jury. I don't think they even played the 911 calls from Nicole before the whole murder took place.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How did he get away with it?
He got away with it. He did eventually go to jail for trying to sell some memorabilia for some, I don't remember what that was.
He was trying to get it back from a Las Vegas hotel and had a gun and threatened them.
And so they were like, okay, well, at least we got him for this for like 9 years, you know, like somehow that, but that doesn't do
he only got out just a couple years ago, I thought.
Yeah, that doesn't do the Simpson family any good, or not the Simpson family, the Goldman family any good. Because they still have to deal with that. And then they will probably get first crack at his estate, though, unless it was set up in like some kind of trust where they couldn't. Technically, that debt needs to be settled, and it's probably in the tens of 20s or 30s of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. And before the murder trial took place, he was on that leading police in a chase. A slow speed chase. Okay, he was
famous.
In that white Bronco, and he was driving around, and for an hour, I think.
Yeah.
And then he ended up in his own driveway.
We all watched that, man.
And
I watched that thing live.
Him on.
Oh,
there were people that were coming and like going, go OJ. Go juice.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And he had threatened to take his own life.
Right.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
But still, he was found not guilty.
Yeah, that's a crazy story. I was telling Betty about this earlier, like SNL.
People have been accused of murder and found guilty for less.
Less. Oh, absolutely.
Don't you go to jail for like... Can't you be, like, aren't you a criminal for avoiding, like, running away from the police, though?
Well, that's a minor thing that would have, they would have got him on something really minor.
Killing your ex-wife, that's a bigger problem.
Yeah, it was a different time, too, like, in the media. Like, SNL did a sketch where they had Tim Meadows writing on a screen like John Madden used to do, like X's and O's for football, and he's got a football play, and he's like, okay, and if you see over here, and he's pretending to be O.J. Simpson, and he's like, now here's where the guy's going to run like this, and then this guy's going to run over here, and he's drawing the lines, and at the end, the reveal is, it writes, I did it, and I remember watching that. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was one of the funniest satires on that.
And he's interviewing a coach.
Yeah.
And it's Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
He's like, man, you just killed them, and you got away with it.
Yeah.
Like, saying all these things, and Will Ferrell's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Well, there you go. That was a lot today. We didn't get to talk about any of that on the show. So you're welcome, Potties. Kind of, maybe, I think, I hope so.
I don't know.
But Betty, I watched her do a deep dive. She has a big screen in front of her. She has multiple screens open for doing show stuff. And then one time I looked over and it was just all OJ.
Once again, this is another situation that I'm passionate about. And I can't tell you why.
You need to start a crime podcast.
I don't know why certain topics bother me, but others I'm like, eh, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You want to get to birthdays?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Hannah. Hannah is celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday, Hannah. Hannah said, I'm listening to your podcast. Makes my day. I love cats and drawing and can't believe I'm almost in my mid-20s. Oh, Hannah, there will come a day when you're like, I'm closer to 40 than I am to 30, and that one's going to shock you. That one's going to blow your socks off. All right, do you want to get to...
That was it. Weekend plans, weekend plans. Everyone's got a weekend plans. All right. I'm having dinner with Pastor Chad tonight.
Old people dinner.
Old people dinner, like 4:30.
With the blue hairs.
But we're doing... I guess it's a nice place because it's his birthday and he had to get reservations. And so we're doing reservations at 4:30.
Dang.
That was the earliest
and
we could get in.
How is it that you got the invite?
We were going to do Pastor Chad and his wife, Phil and his wife, and me and my wife. Because we tried to get the six of us go together
before.
Phil
is another guy we work with. He's our engineer.
He's the cool one that everyone wants to hang out with. And so we were supposed to do dinner with all of them. Then Chad couldn't go one night. And so Phil and I went. And then Phil can't go. So Chad and I are still going. Mm. Which I went to Chad. I'm like, okay, Chad, it's your opportunity to lie. If you want to bow out, you can bow out because Phil's not coming.
But
I'll still be there if you want to go. And so we are still going to dinner.
I feel sorry for all the people that are going to be there at the same time you are, because you two get really loud with one another. You are both eights and you're very passionate.
Good news is they can turn their hearing aids down and they'll be able to find.
Ain't that the truth?
Phil's got a loud laugh too. He's got a jolly
Phil's loud
laugh.
Yeah, the three of us would be a lot. Yeah. And then Saturday, pickleball, last minute errands because we're leaving. And then I'm going to crochet something on Sunday.
What? No. Oh.
I'm going to take my vitamins.
We are leaving my chewables and put my Velcro shoes on. We are leaving Sunday. Betty and I for El Salvador, meeting at the station at 4 a.m. to jump on a flight.
4 a.m.
And then 5 days in El Salvador with Compassion, which I'm really looking forward to. I do love going on these trips. It's a lot of work and a lot of emotion, and it's just a good reset too. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Gavin, why don't you go ahead?
I think it's going to be, again, a lot of like yard work because I did this mowing. And I think that I'm not that tall, but I think the grass in certain places had gone up to my knee.
Oh, geez.
Because
that neighbor.
I just put it off.
Yeah.
I'm the eyesore of the neighborhood. So I did like the highest level of my lawnmower.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going over everything. And I think I've got to redo a lot of places. I was telling Betty this. I don't know if I mentioned this. I almost got a raccoon last time.
What?
There's a little like shed in the corner. And I was like pushing into that corner where the grass was. And I didn't just had to throw it out there. And I pull it back. And a raccoon is like running.
Oh, wow.
The mower
with
me. So I almost took that kid out.
I got bunnies once.
You did?
There was a hole.
Let's not talk about it.
And it popped up as I went over it. And it's like, oh, I was so sad.
That would kill me.
Yeah, it legit made me sad. It was because it was a little one too.
And, Stop this.
I'm sorry. It was horrible. I'm glad you didn't hit the raccoon. Really? I'm still scarred.
What about your murder trial?
If you ever come around a baby raccoon,
they are cute.
Let
Keep
me know
it for Betty. She'll take it.
I want it. I don't care what
the grab it.
I don't care what the state of Tennessee says. I'm keeping that thing.
What does the state of Tennessee say?
Says I can't have him. For
Florida,
a
you can.
I'll move to Florida.
Yeah,
then.
Florida, you can have raccoons.
Tell them it's a weird looking cat.
Florida, you can own weird things.
This is just a fat,
with
striped gray cat.
Hands.
You should. Yeah, their hands are creepy, but
no, they're
but cool.
Not.
That one.
I tell you who has creepy hands. That's sloths. Those things are
the
creepy.
Yeah, the little three toed sloths.
I don't like it.
Moving really
slowly.
I don't think
they're cute. Yeah. I think they're scary.
All right, what's your weekend besides Sunday? Because you and I will be flying together.
Today, I am going to go meet my parents for lunch. We typically do this before I leave for a compassion trip. They take me out for lunch and see me one last time before I leave.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I'm just going to have to get my act together. I've got to pack. I've got to do laundry. I've got to clean.
So funny. I've already packed like 5 days ago.
Really?
I did. I packed all my stuff for the trip. I have all the toys ready to go. Like I have all my snacks. I just got to put it all in a bag and I'm good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my plan for tomorrow. And I'll probably need to run and grab a couple of things. I always bring with me, and you need to remember this, Potties, if you ever go out to a third world country where you can't drink the water, take with you a pack of toothbrushes, a pack of five.
Yeah.
Because you will accidentally, because of muscle memory, you will run it under the faucet and you'll be like, dang it.
Yep, you can't do that.
And so I learned that my first trip, bring with you multiple toothbrushes. So that's one thing.
That is a good idea.
Among many.
I only bring the one toothbrush, but what I do is, because you have to use a bottle of water, I sit my bottle of water in the sink so that way it reminds me, I have to move it, like, okay, yeah, don't put your brush under there.
I've also got to get my place ready because I have two little kids that are coming to check on my kitty cats while I'm gone. Mm-hmm. I gave Boo Boo Bear a booty trim last night.
You said something about mats.
He's matted because he won't let me brush him, and he gets these little mats on his fur, and I know that that's got to hurt him. So I had to sit him down, and I took some scissors, and he's got little bald spots on his bottom.
She put chip clips on his neck.
Yeah, so you take these, you know, those big black clips that you use in an office.
Yeah,
like for holding paper together.
But I use two big ones.
Yeah,
and I take them and put them on the nape of his neck, and it like.
That's what they say is like
paralyzes him to a degree.
You clip those things on their neck.
What the moms do to the kittens,
and that's how they carry them.
If I didn't do that, I would walk out with no hands.
Oh, that's right, because you didn't declaw them.
No, I clip them.
Yeah,
but anyway, so I got to do a lot of things, and then like Wally said, and Potty's thoughts and prayers appreciated because traveling with Wally is as you can imagine a nightmare.
It's wonderful.
Thankfully, I'm not. There's pros and cons. Last trip when we went, Marty, your wife, was able to come, and it was great because she was a buffer and she took up your time and you were worried about her, making sure she's okay with flying and all that stuff. And it was great because if I needed some help or looking after, then you could do it, but I didn't take up your full attention.
Sure.
Whereas on this trip, Marty's not coming, and so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And so
please tell Robin E. and Danny Ray today when you have lunch with them that I've got you and that I'll make sure you come
home
safe.
I know my mom will be thankful.
I know she will.
But anyways, it's just going to be interesting. And then to think
Pastor Chad's going to be on the trip, so you'll be fine. I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, he'll help a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you think
Jake's
he'll help
coming.
Or will he be?
Well,
do you think he'll
you
team
know,
up?
There's, once again,
I think
there's
it's
pros
two.
And
that's
cons.
True.
I think it's a
2-1
on his
and cons
end.
Cons to true. Both. I don't know. Once I get back, I'm going to get myself a Chick-fil-A sandwich with a large sweet tea, and I'm already looking forward to it.
There you go. All right. Well, with that, that reminds me we won't be having podcast next week because we will be
Gavin said he was going to do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Talk about sports.
I'll have
no podcast next week.
Or a sports podcast.
And then we'll get back to things normal a week from Monday.
But we will be posting things on our
stories.
Yeah,
please look at them, honestly. Like, watch the stuff. Please, for the love. Like, we go and we, like, pour our hearts out for things. And because we're not doing something stupid, people are like, children that need help. Swipe. You know.
But we will be posting a lot. So if you don't already follow us, search Wally Show on Facebook and Instagram, and you'll see a bunch of it there.
There you go. All right, that's going to do it for your Aftercast for today, and thanks for being a potty.
Bye! Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.